Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Good morning, everybody. 12:50 a.m. The Fan. I'm Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath. We got a full day to break this one down. And then tomorrow, and then Wednesday. At some point, we'll move on to the Houston Texans matchup, which they had a very interesting end to their game. They lost in overtime. But Romeo Crennel, I don't know if it's because he's 73 years old and is out of F's to give, going for two to try to seal it. Instead, they missed. They're up seven. Tennessee comes down, gets it to overtime. They win. So Tennessee still undefeated, but the Texans are going to be looking for a win coming up this weekend. And Horvat's right. I mean, the Texans, we can overlook the Texans, but if Tom Brady's picking you apart with no pass rush, what is Deshaun Watson going to do to you? I mean, he's going to crawl all over you. So let's not assume any game is a victory. I was just looking at the schedule earlier and saying, even if the Packers beat the teams that they're better than and lose to the teams that they're not better than, and then just hypothetical stuff. Let's say you beat the Texans, beat the Vikings, the Jaguars, you think you can beat the Colts. We're going to assume you can beat the Bears, even though they are in first place at 5-1. Just looking at the schedule, assuming you can beat some of these teams, there's still the Niners on there, and they look good last night. The Titans, as I mentioned, are on there. It seems like the Packers right now, the last couple of years under Matt LaFleur, they feel very confident that they can beat teams that they are perceived to be better than, and they play very well, and they almost toy around with teams. But then when there's a team that's better than them on paper or has a better defense or sends a message early, the Packers seem to fold up shop a little bit. The games that LaFleur has lost in his tenure, there have not been a lot of them. The first one was against the Eagles last year on Thursday night, and that was a normal loss. You play a game, it's a one-score game, you lose. Okay, that's going to happen. But then since that, it's been very demoralizing losses. Now, there's only been four other losses. LaFleur has not lost a lot. He's only lost five times, including the playoffs last year. But when he loses, these last four times, it was that Chargers game coming off the bye. We go out west, look terrible. I mean, look absolutely terrible. And then it was the Niners game last year, the first one, 38-7-8. Then 37-20, the NFC Championship game. Packers scored a few times in the fourth quarter. Really, they got beat just as bad as they did the other time. And then this game where it was 38-10. It seems like the Packers, they get a couple of shots taken at them early, and they just kind of wobble the rest of the time and don't find the strength to fight back. So I think from a solo one-game standpoint, this game being played, if you look at it more often than not, it was one game. It turned on some interceptions. All right, what are you going to do, right? What are you going to do? But if you look big picture, there's a little more to worry about. And we break that down with Gary Ellerson.
Let's go, baby! Let's go! Let's go!
Come on up, let's close it out!
Keep playing!
This man carried the football for both the Packers
we win and
Badgers.
Yeah.
And now he carries the G for us here on The Fan.
I love it!
Gary Ellerson joins the Bart Winkler Morning Show after each and every Packers game at 7 a.m. Now, it's time to break down the X's and O's from yesterday's game with GE on the Bart Winkler Morning Show.
AM, The Fan, Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath. It depends how you want to look at this one. Do you look at it as just one game where it turned on the interceptions and then the Packers couldn't come back? Or do you step back and say there might be a bigger problem here? The Packers, when they do lose, they lose handily. They go down early. They don't have the fight to come back. And they may be more pieces away from a Super Bowl run than we were thinking. Gary Ellerson was fielding your calls left and right on the postgame show yesterday. He'll be doing the same on the Wendy's Big Show. GE, what does this loss mean to you? Is it just, oh, well, let's get him back next week, or there's some bigger problems here to address?
Well, no, Bart. If you've been listening to the Big Show and Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and Leroy Butler, and you know, you listen to those guys and Danny Plucker and
Dan Plucker.
Danny Plucker.
Oh, I thought you said Kenny Plucker.
No, Danny.
Okay.
Danny Plucker, yeah. This is one game. I mean, you know, everybody was talking Super Bowl. I don't know if you had that on your show. I mean, we had jokers calling in talking about Super Bowl. And I kept saying, it's four games. They only played four games. Why are we talking about Super Bowl? It's four games.
Well, so what we've been talking about, and we've talked about this with you, is after these wins, we look at these wins and we're very happy about the wins, but we do want a Super Bowl. So I think, well, it'd be nice if they had, you know, another weapon here, or maybe some more speed on the defense, or maybe some better offensive line depth. And I heard a lot, hey, just enjoy it. They're 4-0. This is a 4-0 football team. But now I think where I'm at is when there's a team that the Packers are better than on paper, they know it. They're going to beat them. They have the confidence. But when there's a team that maybe has a better defense or has a quarterback with six Super Bowl rings or at least a deserving quarterback to start in this league, Packers get shook around a little bit, and they can beat the bad teams, but they can't beat the good teams. So that puts them, like, right in the middle.
No. They can beat Tampa Bay. They were up 10-0. And, you know, the first drive, boom, 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 they go down 3 points. The second drive, they come back, they get seven. They can beat this team. It turned on an interception, and it went downhill after that. And they never recovered. It just snowballed on them. They can beat this team. This is, you know, this is not like last year with San Fran. When they played San Fran the first time, I go, they're never going to beat that team. I don't have that feeling about Tampa Bay. They can beat Tampa Bay. But I'm not talking Super Bowl either, because that's stupid too. I mean, you know, they're a good football team. The problem that I have, Bart, is Matt LaFleur had done a great job, and so Aaron Rodgers had played very well. I mean, MVP, lights out, first four games. And they caught up with him. And what caught up with him? Scheme. Scheme caught up with him. Todd Bowles schemed the heck out of that defense. And they've got some good players over there on that defensive side of football. You saw those linebackers could run, get to the ball. But most certainly the Packers can beat this team, beat Tampa Bay. I don't have that feeling like I had when they played San Francisco.
Yeah, I don't have that feeling either. I think that this was certainly a game that did – I mean, it's very clear that the Packers were up, and then Tampa scored two quick touchdowns. And for whatever reason, the momentum, it was all gone. The game just changed. I would like to see, you know, if they play again, it's not going to go that way. Hopefully we get a closer game. But they still, you know, when they were down 14-10, Rodgers tries to hit Lewis, and he misses that. Tampa scores again. I think what I didn't like was then it just seemed like they were resigned to the loss, especially in the second half. Well, there was no effort in the second half. The lines both sides of the ball were getting torn up.
You're right. Rodgers wasn't on. So, I mean, the Mercedes Lewis pick, I mean, missed throw. I mean, that he never misses throws like that. Are you kidding me? So he was off.
And then he blamed the wind after the game.
Yeah, they need to stop with the wind. Come on, dude. Don't do that. Don't do the wind thing. I mean, I heard that. You're right. Up front, they got killed up front. When Bakhtiari went down, it was all she wrote. Cage by the door. I mean, they were done. And at that point, I don't know about y'all, but at that point, I was like, come on, man, let's get Rodgers out of there. I don't need to see no more. I got people on Twitter coming after me about, why were you taking Rodgers out? You just hate Rodgers. No, I want to win the Super Bowl. I want to live and fight and see another day. They ain't winning that. Ricky Wagner at left tackle, are you kidding me?
No, Gary, you were right. I wanted him out of that game as soon as Bakhtiari, because you weren't winning that game. You saw it, man, and the goals,
No. They're
bigger than winning that game anyway. I agree with you. I think they could beat Tampa Bay. I think if they played 10 times, Packers could win 6 or 7 of those games. But when you look around the league, though, like you saw what San Francisco did last night, they're getting a little bit healthier. They're without Nick Bosa the rest of the year. But even, you know, you see what the Rams have done. The Saints, you caught them maybe on an off night. Now they got Michael Thomas coming back. You look around at what's going on in the AFC with the Ravens. They bounced back yesterday. You're going to see the Chiefs tonight. So that's the thing. Like, I don't even know if Tampa Bay is that great. But do you think that this team is a legitimate Super Bowl contender? I know you're calling us crazy for even bringing up the Super Bowl. When you look around the league, though, do you think that the Packers are a top-five team right now?
Let's just stop talking Super Bowl. It's 5 games. Get back to me after week 8. Can we do that? After we play 8 games, let's talk Super Bowl again. It is just too early to be talking that. I tell you this, I believe they're one of the top 5 teams in the NFC,
yeah.
No doubt about it. But let's just cool off with the Super Bowl type stuff. Listen, here's my problem. One of the other problems that I have, Bart and Horvey, in my mind, I see Jermichael Finley, I see Greg Jennings, I see Jordy Nelson, I see Randall Cobb, I see Donald Driver. You know what I'm talking about, that Sports Illustrated cover. Remember that one?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And then I see Devontae Adams. I see Alan Lazard. I see St. Brown. I see Tonyan. I don't even know who the other receivers that they got after that. I mean, I can't even name it.
Well, you don't Darius have a Darius Shepherd or Malik Taylor jersey?
Yeah, them too.
Oh, wait, do we have Taylor or Turner? I forgot, too.
Yeah, him, too.
Malik
yeah,
Taylor,
too.
I was right. Okay.
Yeah, that guy.
Who cares?
Yeah, him, too. Them guys I mentioned, them guys really, really good. This other group, that second group, they're not that good. So what does that mean? That means that Matt LaFleur has done a great job with this offense, scheming guys open, and your quarterback has played lights out. So, and I've been saying this for the first 4 weeks. I said, let's just see what happens when a defense then out-schemes Matt LaFleur, because that's what happened. I'm about the Jimmy and Joes, and we just don't have enough of that on offense. But it can work. It can work in today's NFL. And that's what we saw. So now what I want to see is Matt LaFleur now, because it's a copycat league now, right? So that means that there are other teams looking at what Todd Bowles did, and they're going to copy that defensive game plan. The problem is, do these other teams defensively have the guys that Tampa Bay have? Now, Tampa Bay got a good team. I mean, they got a good defense. Those two linebackers, that is Devin White and the other kid, them Joes can flat out run. You can't go east and west on them boys. They get to the football. But now can these other teams – defensive teams do what Tampa Bay did, and I really don't think so. So I think what we're going to see now is Matt LaFleur go back to the drawing board. Now what he has to do is make some adjustments. I think that's what's going to be fun to see about the Green Bay Packers and Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers. To me, Aaron Rodgers turned back into old Aaron Rodgers, and that is no matter what I'm throwing into Devonta Adams. They got caught a couple times. Todd Bowles knew that, and they played that. So Rodgers now got to get back. Let's throw it. I got 13 guys out here. Let's make sure 13 guys, 13 different players catch balls, and they got to get back to that.
Yeah, there was a lot of sentiment online. I don't know if you guys took any calls on it during the postgame show yesterday. Gary Ellerson joining us. You'll hear him on the Wendy's Big Show later today, 2 o'clock, that says Devontae coming back, as good as he is, it's like the Christian McCaffrey discussion they're having in Carolina, where he's so good, and you got to make sure he touches the ball a lot, but it takes some of the unpredictability away from the offense. And if Rodgers is going to force it, is what they're saying, to Devontae, it actually makes the offense worse. Now, that I think is ridiculous, but Devontae clearly being back you know, Rodgers was trying to get him the football. I don't know how to address that one with people, because I think that's kind of crazy.
Here's how you address that with those people. When that Joker had, 17 targets against Minnesota, what did he catch, 14 passes against the Vikings?
Sounds right.
Devontae Adams? Huh?
14.
Everybody was giddy and happy, right?
They were.
Yeah. And now, if that ain't targeting Devontae Adams over other people, I don't know what is. Now, I think this one, did he get 10 targets or something like that? So folks need to stop that. I mean, he's going to throw the ball to Devontae Adams. Ain't he going to stare him down? He's going to look at him. But you got to take the good with the bad with that. And so folks need to stop looking at that. Yeah, it is. I don't know if it's an issue, but it is a thing. They stared down Jerry Rice. I ain't saying Devontae Adams, Jerry Rice, but you know he was going to get – he's just going to get a number of targets. That's just the way it's going to work.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. It's Devontae Adams. He's right. One of the best receivers in the league. So coming out of this one, is there a great concern for you? Like, what would it be? I don't like that the pass rush and the defense was so good for Tampa that they made Jason Pierre-Paul and Ndamukong Suh have a field day. I keep bringing this up, but the play where Suh two-hand shoved Rodgers to the ground, that's what's going to burn in my head from this game.
Sue's still a bad dude, ain't he?
Oh, man.
He's a bad dude. Here's my thing. Defense is what the defense is, our defense. I don't know if you're going to get much better there. I think they are is what they are. But offensively, I think we just had a bad night. And we just got to see what Matt LaFleur now can come back to the drawing board to do. How are you feeling, Bart? I mean, you think it's over? What are you?
I feel.
I mean, you're the fan. I mean, you're in Orbit. You guys are the fan. I mean, tell me what you think.
I feel like this game, if you just look at this game, it's pretty clear that the Packers were moving the things along, and it was probably going to be, you know, I don't think the Packers were going to blow them out after they were up 10-0, but once Rodgers threw that interception and then another interception, it's clear that the game turned. Now, some of the
correct
questioning in the press conferences, were you guys so surprised, and we'll, I think, play some of this later, but were you so surprised that it, like, threw you off? I hope that's not the case, but it certainly, that's what happened. If that first pick doesn't happen, this game's completely different. So in this game, if they play 10 times, we say that the Buccaneers won because of that exchange of plays. If you look at it on the bigger scale, I think the Packers are a good team. They are going to make the playoffs. I still think they're going to win the North, despite what's happening with Chicago, and they keep finding ways to win. I am worried that some of these things that I perceive as weaknesses, not addressing another receiver, you know, when you've got Devontae Adams and you shut him down and you've got no one else to go to, and Aaron Jones is your second target, but the linebackers do a good job covering him, Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Rodgers, every time Rodgers throws a deep ball to him, you know it's not going to be caught. They have no chemistry on a deep ball. It's just not going to happen. Defensively, I would like a Patrick Queen rather than some of the guys they got. So I worry that they didn't do enough to address. They didn't do anything. They were a game away from the Super Bowl last year, and they didn't do anything to address some of the needs.
You still back to the draft.
Every week. I cannot let it go because you were a game away from the Super Bowl, and you
let it go.
You did a bunch of future moves.
This game proves it to you, didn't it?
This game made me feel a lot better about my rational takes.
Got you. Here's what it is, and there's a couple of things here real quick. My concerns, you want to know what the concerns are. I don't feel like San Francisco when they lost it the first time. Okay, for me, that's good. But what you heard out of the locker room is the preparation, that we didn't have a good week of practice. This game, to me, felt more like last year when they went to San Diego and they got their tail kicked. Because I thought that if they played San Diego again, they could beat San Diego. My problem is how you're not prepared to go play a game on the road. How are you not prepared to go play Tom Brady in Tampa Bay? How are you taking all that? If I have a concern, that's what I have a concern about this team, because that's reared its ugly head again. And that's the same conversation we had when they went to San Diego. That, and I don't know if guys went out too early or what they did. I know they flew out early, but they just weren't ready to play. Doesn't it sound like that same story again?
Yeah, the losses, LaFleur doesn't lose a lot, but the losses have been similar. And then as soon as they have a bad game, you know, it's like Roethlisberger does this a lot. He did it yesterday. There was a throw he missed, and then immediately he, like, looks at his wrist like, oh, well, my wrist is hurt. And then he's like, you're just trying to find an excuse. And then the next drive he throws a touchdown. The Packers do that. They lose a game, and then they come into the locker room and they say, well, our practice was bad this week. Well, then you got to fix
that. So you don't buy that? You don't buy that?
I don't like to hear it. And if your practices are bad, well, then you know that that's a problem. So it's like they never – whenever they win, they didn't say, wow, this is amazing. We had a bad week of practice, and then we won. It's always, wow, we had a bad week of practice. We should – well, if you know you're going to walk into the stadium feeling already bad about your week of practice, why do you put us through that? Like, why do we get all excited for that?
They don't feel bad about their week of practice. They feel good about it, but then they can look back at it and say, you know what, we probably weren't as focused as we need to be. That concerns me. That's got to stop, whatever that is.
Yeah, I don't like that. Gary, I'm going to let you go. We got some great callers on the line I want to talk to.
Let's go. See if anybody agrees with me. We need to stop this.
Do you want to talk to a caller?
Hey, let me talk to one real quick.
Come on. Do you want to talk to Rick in Oshkosh?
Let me get to Rick. Let's go.
Rick, you're on with Gary Ellerson.
Yeah. First of all, you had 10 days to prepare. 10 days. Set up a game plan. 10 days.
Yeah.
And what chance you had to blow it all up after first two possessions because Tampa Bay did not implement their run blitz till after the first two possessions. And then they came at him.
What do you think of that, Gary?
They didn't because Rodgers was ordained, first of all, Rodgers never checked down. Rodgers didn't change the play at the line of scrimmage. Rodgers didn't have no hard count. Didn't try to pull them. Didn't try to do misdirection. Didn't try to do anything to slow them down.
They
didn't try to try to change it up.
Yeah, okay. You know what else I think hurt them a little bit, too, is that Tyler Irvin, not having him.
And Brown? Dan Brown, I hope they cut him.
No, he's fine.
Terrible. He's awful.
Well, let's give him another game at least. Jeez.
Well, I'll give him another game.
It wasn't Notre Dame.
No,
you guys are doing another game, but I'm not.
Yeah, no.
Somebody would cut him.
All right, Gary, I got to deal with this. I'll let you go.
Oh, my God. Is that what you're dealing with today?
Yes, it is.
It's actually might be one of the better ones.
That's too early to be doing that. Oh,
no,
my God.
No, it ain't. Really? It's not. No, because there's certain players in this league.
Rick's been trying to get on for an hour and a half, so.
An hour and a half. Okay. But he never checked down. He never changed the game. No, the play.
Gary, I'll be tuning in at 2, bud.
I see you later, buddy.
See ya.
Have fun with that. Bye.
Gary Ellerson, Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Rick, you got the floor.
Am I that wrong? That's to up the observance that I made. They never tried to change their game plan.
No, they just went out there and got beat up, and they're like, all right.
And then they lay down.
Yeah.
And Rodgers is off by, I would say, two or three. It's put, one of the passes that was intercepted was tipped at the line. Then the other one, and it should have been caught, was going behind of him. Okay, he was way off and everything.
Rick, you know what bothers me about this game?
They saw the offensive line something. Now they're banged up.
What bothers me is I work so hard at everything I do, and I make sure that everything I'm busting my hump. I got this job that I'm putting everything I got into it. Then I go home. I've got my wife and my kid, and I'm trying to make their lives great. And I'm trying to do everything. And I'm just fighting, just like any common man. And then I sit down for some enjoyment at 3:25 on a Sunday, and I see a team that I root for have no fight.
Yeah,
and
no
I
fight.
Take it, Rick, I take it as an insult to me. Why do I bust my ass and then watch this team that doesn't care? That's what I have a problem with.
They didn't even try to change anything at halftime.
Nothing.
That run blitz is that I know now. What's the difference between run blitz and a pass blitz? Nothing really. You gotta be able to pick that up.
I just want a team that cares. We're Wisconsin. We're blue collar. I don't need my scotch drinking quarterback to get sad because he threw an interception
twice. And then after that, he seemed to be done the whole rest of the game. So he didn't give a crap. That's what
I'm tired of it.
Yeah. But I'm letting you know, wide receivers, the tight end ran two tight ends. They didn't try to do anything, draw plays. They didn't try to do anything to hold those linebackers back.
Rick, who's your World Series pick, Dodgers or Rays?
I hate the Tampa Bay because I hate L.A. Dodgers.
Yeah, me too. Hey, have a good one, buddy. I got to let you go.
Am I right about this, though?
Rick, like everything you've said the last calendar year, you've been right about.
I mean, I just change it. Do something.
Yeah.
But Brown's got to go. And somebody else, and I was tied in. I don't know why they like him. Jeez, they need to pick something up off the needle in a haystack.
All right, Rick. Love you, bud.
Yeah, later.
Okay. Rick Oshkosh, 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. As we mentioned, as Gary mentioned, this feels like the Chargers loss last year. Maybe it feels like the Niners loss. Maybe those two losses feel different. The Niners were a team that you got beat up and you thought, all right, if we play them again, they're probably going to do the same thing. The Chargers were a game where, wow, this was weird. I would think that if we played them again, we win. But in both cases, it looked like there was a lack of preparation, and that's kind of what Rodgers echoed again last night.
Sometimes you have kind of rough weeks, and you go out and light it up. And sometimes you have amazing weeks where everything's clicking, and you can't move the ball very well. But more times than not, I would say if you got a good week going, probably going to be pretty effective. If you're not having that great efficiency in practice, it usually doesn't come any easier on the field. Now, obviously, that changes from time to time, but I just think we need to have a better week of practice next week playing Houston. Right, Tom? Yeah, so it's another road trip, dome, so we need to get healthy and have a better week of preparation.
Yeah, they better, and it starts today. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath, and you guys, 799-1250, 414-799-1250. More from you guys coming up. Packers fall to the Buccaneers, 38-10.
Now, a green and gold update brought to you by Concordia University, Wisconsin Veterans Services Department at cuw.edu/veterans. In Green Bay, here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers lose to the Buccaneers 38-10 here at Raymond James Stadium. The turning point came in the second quarter when Bucs safety Jamel Dean made a break on a pass intended for Devontae Adams and returned it 32 yards for a touchdown. Tampa Bay quarterback Tom Brady.
Yeah, Jamel made a hell of a play. He did that to us in training camp a few times, so that was a huge play, sparked us. Then we got another turnover, got the ball in.
The Packers failed to generate any turnovers on defense. Packers safety Adrian Amos was asked to explain.
I don't know. We just have to figure out a way to get the ball. But again, it's only week 5. We 4-1. We got regrouped. Turnovers will come.
Green Bay couldn't score after the first quarter. Aaron Rodgers.
I don't think you want to just totally flush something like this. I think you have to be during the stinkers like tonight. I don't think we're very efficient the entire night.
Green Bay now 4-1. They head to Houston next to play the Texans. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur.
As soon as you get comfortable, you get your butt whipped. Again, you got to give the Bucs all the credit. They beat us in every facet.
That's Matt LaFleur in Tampa Bay. I'm Mike Clemens.
Best Packers coverage on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Check us out on the radio.com app. I'm Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath. If you guys are going hunting, hey, take us with you. You don't have to miss your favorite shows. If you're going fishing, you don't have to miss your favorite shows. If you're going to a rally and tailgating, you do not have to miss your favorite shows. Wherever you are, we're there too. The radio.com app. Adrian Amos after the game.
It's always a little bit of both. They were executing. We wasn't. It's always a couple key plays on every drive where we could have been better. And it wasn't really one thing. It wasn't really one thing that they were doing that we couldn't stop. It was just we'll have a mess up here or a mess up there, just all around. Just this is one of those games where us as a football team, we need to reflect and play better.
Credit the Packers defense for this. Chris Godwin was 5 of 48, and Mike Evans was only 1 of 10. So you think those guys, those are typically guys.
The ball, though.
Yeah, I'm just let me look for something. Those are typically guys you think would beat the Packers. I like that, but then it's offset by Gronk was 5 for 78. Gronk, who has struggled this year to find a rhythm and his football legs again. Did you guys know he used to work at Fox and that Aaron Andrews and Gronk are good friends? Because you know it now. 5 of 78 for Gronk, and then Ronald Jones, 23 for 113. He was averaging about 5 yards a carry. I think in the third and fourth quarter, he might have been averaging about 12 because the defensive line just let him have it. Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, this was not the showdown. They threw for a combined 326 yards. Rodgers had 160 and a passer rating of 35, which, again, even if you don't understand passer rating, 35 is horrendous. Very bad. 158 is the best, 158.3. 35 is like trash.
I said I wasn't even going to bring this up because I hate people that complain about the announcers. Like, Joe Buck doesn't hate your team, I promise you this. Troy Aikman, though, does hate the Green Bay Packers, and he hates Aaron Rodgers, and he's in love with Tom Brady. I hate Troy Aikman. I hate his guts. I wish he was standing right in front of me right now. I'd take this cup of coffee and throw it in his face. I can't stand that guy. Let's have him on the show so I can tell him how bad he sucks at his job, too. Nobody cares that you couldn't handle a wet ball and you'd make your center change his pants. I don't care how bad of a blowout it is. Nobody cares about your stories.
Jeez.
No, he's, you know, I hate Troy Aikman.
Aikman does have a, he does, if like Tom Brady makes a mistake, or then if, let's say, Sam Darnold makes a mistake, he'll be very hard on Sam Darnold. But then when Brady does the same thing, he says, well, I've been, that was tough. I was a
he's trash.
Tough play. You got a good guy. I understand what you're saying on that one. Do love Joe Buck. Troy Aikman. All right, I can follow you on that one. Trails on the north side, hearing from you guys, 799-1250, 414-799-1250. T!
Good morning, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
Oh, better now to talk to you. How are you?
I'm not doing good at all.
Oh.
You know, I just come to a realization last night, and I probably came to this realization many times throughout the years, but yes, there was just one game last night. That's true. Yes, Aaron Rodgers historically doesn't play well in Tampa Bay. That's true. Yes, this Tampa Bay team is not the same team as San Francisco. Yes, all these things. Yes, it's still early in the season. All those things. Having said all of that, this team's going to lose the same way when they play a defense that's able to punch them in the mouth. They just, I don't know what it is about LaFleur. He's been great scheming up things in the first world, but I said, and me and Gary have been locking step with this for the last couple weeks. I said, as soon as they play a defense that's physical, I want to see how they react. And they couldn't score any more points the rest of the game. That was just so much of a punch in the gut that I really just started thinking back to how us as Wisconsin sports fans, we get treated so badly. I swear, we've been in abusive relationships for a number of years. And we just get to a point where sometimes where you've been in an abusive relationship for so long, you expect it. You think it's something that you've done or something that if it doesn't happen, you feel funny. So that's how we are with all of our teams. The Packers, they're never going to go out and get anybody. I seen the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. In a great win last night, they lost a guy, and they went to plug and play right away. Went and traded for a guy.
Yeah, they traded for one of the linemen from the Jets.
Literally, like exactly. 3 minutes after the game.
Yeah.
Exactly. We'll never do anything like that.
No.
We're going to sell our fans. And because Aaron Rodgers, for the most part, and he had a terrible game yesterday. There's no excuse for that. But for the most part, he's through the regular season, he's going to win you a lot of games. He's going to get you more than likely double-digit wins. So you're always going to be competing for the playoffs. But, I mean, after so many years of competing for the playoffs and competing for meaningless North divisions, because the teams in our divisions have pretty much hurt themselves way more than us. Well, I'll put it like this. They haven't had the quarterback to lean on to make all of those mistakes. So when they make the mistakes, it's more glaring because they don't have anyone to cover it up for a lot of parts of the season. So just like the Bucks. Same thing. These owners talking about they want to do this and that, but you hear all these reports about they put these reports through the media members and say, well, the action price for Chris Paul is too much. But in the same report, the media member says that the Thunder haven't gave their what they even want yet. But they're planting this seed to the fans to say, oh, it's too much. I don't even expect anything like that because the asking price is too much. I mean, dude, when you're trying to win a championship, when are you putting left? I don't see the team. Okay, Kansas City, they just signed Le'Veon Bell. They didn't even need him.
Yeah, they don't need him.
They didn't need him. They didn't need him, but they signed him because they're trying to win another Super Bowl. I mean, I just would hope and I want my team to be like that, but I guess it's just a wistful dream, and I'll just go back to sleep. Sorry for bothering you guys.
have a good sleep, Trell.
All right.
I'll wake you up when it's worth being woken up for.
Okay.
So you might be hibernating for a while. Trell joining us on the north side. Love talking to T. 799-1250. He's right. There's a pattern with Wisconsin teams where it seems like they get so close but then don't make that one last move to get them over the hump. I see some of you guys wanting the Packers to reach out for Antonio Brown again. I'm totally fine with that. I want this team to be better. So if he wants to play, I would love for him
to
play here. Right. It doesn't seem like it's going to happen. I don't even know if Antonio Brown wants to play at this point. I do want to say, because Trell brought up the pain of Wisconsin sports, hey, can I just talk to everybody in Atlanta real quick? Don't try to steal this from us. Don't try to steal the pain from us. Oh, we knew Atlanta would choke. They choked to the Dodgers. They lost a 3-1 series lead. And, oh, the Falcons blew that Super Bowl a couple years ago. And Georgia's always got a big lead over Alabama. And it's so rough to be an Atlanta fan. Don't try to steal that from us like you stole the Braves from us. We're the state with the heartbreak and the pain. We're the place with the pain. Don't take our – that's all we got.
Meanwhile,
all
in Los Angeles.
All we got is that we don't got nothing.
Meanwhile, in Los Angeles, man, they get a Lakers championship. Now they get the Dodgers.
Yeah, it's the NBA champion against the NHL champion cities for the World Series.
Yeah.
So have fun with all that. But Atlanta, we are the losers. Don't you take that from us.
What's your biggest concern after yesterday with this team? Because I still think they're a great football team. I just don't know that they're a Super Bowl contender. I think, like, we do this thing, they're a good team, they're not a great team. I think they're a great team. I think the Saints are a very good team. You beat the Saints. Saints beat Tampa Bay. The Bears beat Tampa Bay. I got some concerns, but you want to know what concerns me a little bit is that I don't, like, the Bears offensively are a mess, but what I saw yesterday from Tampa Bay, I do think that Chicago would be, I don't know.
Where are you going with this? I don't think I'm going to like it.
Well, okay, so Rodgers got blitzed 17 times yesterday, and he completed 4 balls when being blitzed and threw 2 picks yesterday. The Bears are getting healthy. Like, Khalil Mack looks pretty damn good. Khalil Mack looks like he did 3 years ago. He was beat up last year. Robert Quinn, I thought that they signed an injured player. I think he's looking a little bit better. The secondary, I'm not sold on yet in Chicago. They're all right. Like, I like Fuller a lot. I'm a little nervous about the Bears. Again, I don't think that the Bears are as quality of a football team as Green Bay. I do think you beat them twice. I wouldn't be shocked if you split with them this year, I guess is what I'm saying. That was a nice win for Chicago yesterday. Again, maybe I'm overreacting to one loss. I got to go back and watch the tape again today. I don't know that I want to.
Yeah, let's get another night's sleep before you start talking about the Bears.
Like, the Bears,
I know they're 5-1.
Like, Nick Foles doesn't need to be Aaron Rodgers for that team to win is what scares me a little bit. And it's just defensively, they look all right now. Like, they made Tom Brady look like crap last week. They beat out of him. Like, Khalil Mack
beat. We didn't do that.
And we couldn't get to him. I saw Tom Brady get touched one time yesterday. It was when he got his face mask nearly ripped off by Rashawn Gary. Other than that, no pressure whatsoever. And then you saw what the Bears did to Brady, and it was just a little concerning, even the win that they picked up yesterday.
I think my biggest concern, I'm going to read this tweet from
Mine's Brad. Mike Pettine.
Oh, yeah, he sucks. Brad Spielberger, PFF Brad, guy works for Pro Football Focus. He says this: the Packers not addressing the wide receiver position at all finally showed up today. The Bucs have a true lockdown corner in Carlton Davis. He limited Adams as much as he could. No one else could get open on Dean or Murphy Bunting. Some of the sacks were beating the offensive line, but there were a lot of coverage sacks as well. The key difference between pass games was the Bucs probably have the best linebacker duo in the NFL, so then Aaron Jones was neutralized as the number 2 receiving threat. My biggest concern is that you have the same team you had a year ago, and so the results are likely going to be the same. Yes, I am still hung up on the offseason. And we can say draft, but it's the offseason. I guess what difference would Devin Funchess have made? I don't know. But even there at 26 or 30, wherever you were, a lot of good young wide receivers. It's not just Chase Claypool. It's Chenault.
T. Higgins yesterday. T. Higgins. How about him?
You know, Patrick Queen continues to look like he's been there for – he looks like he would fit in with the Ravens defense from 2001.
It just sucks because there are some guys out there who will get physical and bring some toughness into the locker room, and you can never bring them in. Like Snacks Harrison, I don't know what he has left in the tank. You know, but you can't even bring guys like that in. Like last year, not that he, you know, now I'm just saying, I'm not even looking at the defensive side of the ball, but like Emmanuel Sanders, 2 years ago, Robbie Anderson, they were trying to make a move for. It's like, you just need, they need more speed because like, even I'm watching last night, I'm watching the Rams in San Francisco, and both teams have so much speed, so many playmakers out on that field. San Francisco's beat up right now without Nick Bosa, and that's still a nice win for them last night. Just so much speed, so many playmakers, and it's just like that's where we're lacking a little bit in Green Bay. A lot of nice players. I love Jair. I love Kevin King when he's out on the field, but Josh Jackson, you missed on that pick. You know, the Smith brothers, 1 week, Zadarius is in the backfield every single snap like he was against Atlanta. Yesterday, he's nowhere to be found. Preston, I get that he was playing more in coverage the first couple weeks of the season. That wasn't really the case yesterday. He was nowhere to be found. And you made a Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, Sue. These are guys that are past their prime, man. You made them look really good yesterday.
I would like to see from the Packers more guys come in that are like Jair Alexander. I think a lot of times what happens is you look at some of these other rookies that we talk about or even free agent acquisitions, and they come into a team – and they're all over the place. Like TJ Watt, he was an impact guy the moment he got there. And Patrick Queen, he's an impact guy the moment that he got there. Jair Alexander is one of those guys, guys that come in with a built-in swagger. I think the Packers a lot, they bring in guys or they draft guys that just seem a little passive or it takes them a while and they want to feel out like, how can I act in this organization? What can I do here? How can it work for me? What kind of, you know, impact can I have? I feel like, especially at the linebacker position, they draft so passively. They bring in guys that's so passively. I want aggressiveness. I want speed. I want guys to blow up the offensive line. It seems like Dean Lowry and Tyler Lancaster and Kenny Clark. You know, Clark's great, but it's they let the play come to them almost.
Yeah, and you know what? Lancaster's actually been pretty good this year. He really has. And Kingsley Keke showed some flashes, but you just need experienced guys that can make plays. Like, you just need I don't know how I could stress it anymore. You need playmakers. And you know what killed the Packers yesterday? Now I'm just jumping all over the place, I know, because there's so much that just pissed me off. But, I mean, the offensive line, like, we could say what we want. But yesterday, like, if we're going to talk wide receivers, and I'm watching even guys like T. Higgins make plays down the field, and then I watched the Packers. Yesterday, they couldn't get anything downfield. And, yeah, they pressured Aaron Rodgers. They blitzed a lot. The corners, they do have some really good corners. But Rodgers yesterday was 0 of 5 on passes of 20 or more yards. He entered the game with 13 completions this season, over 20 yards, which was tied for tops in the league. He was throwing the deep ball. He was hitting the deep ball. And yesterday, I get you're playing against a good defense and a good secondary, but you have no downfield weapons. Like, MVS is not it. I know he's had a couple nice games. He's had some bad drops. He's had some nice catches the last couple years. He's not the answer.
You know what I mean?
He's not your burner.
There's
not
your
Debo Samuel. Right.
Deep ball chemistry between Rodgers and MVS. When I see the ball go downfield and I see it's going to MVS, I know that he's either not going to complete the route or the ball's not where MVS is going to be or he's not going to catch it. He's a deep threat in name only. He doesn't make those catches.
Right. Like guys like Debo Samuel, that's what you needed in the draft. 4-3 guys that could actually hang on to the football. 0-for-5 on passes of 20 or more yards against Tampa Bay, you're not going to beat them. And especially when you're not checking down, you're leaving throws out. Rodgers left a lot of throws out on the field. Again, I'm not giving him a free pass. I can't think of anybody that I would give over a C-plus grade for yesterday on this entire roster. Maybe I'm losing my mind. You know, Barnes made a couple plays. But the defense just got gashed.
You know what we won't really spend a lot of time on, but I want to bring up? I think J.K. Scott might suck, too. Just throwing that out there.
Why?
I think he's not that good.
I don't know. I mean, yesterday was the only day you really needed him.
I just don't think he's that good.
I'm not going to start ragging on JK. I'll tell you, man, you need a new long snapper, though, and I'm not even joking about that. No, I'm not kidding. Special teams. I got a lot to complain about today. I'm going to leave JK Scott off the list.
Punter gate.
But
snapper gate.
We need a new battery there. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath, more from you guys in 60 seconds. Hey, I want to remind you about my friends over at Windows Select. Incredible deals that they've had for you all summer. And as we transition into a new season, it is the time to transition into new windows, siding, and doors with Windows Select. Right now, when you get set up with them, you get a buy one, get one deal on the windows. So you buy a window, and then you get another one free. And then let's say you buy three windows, then you get three windows for free. This is an incredible deal that is really going to make this super affordable. Also, you don't have to pay them anything for 12 months. So you get to enjoy the product for a full year before you even pay them a nickel. And at that time, you know, you're going to have saved a bunch of money in the energy cost because you're going to get new windows that lower the heating bill. So it's like paying for itself almost. Or maybe your home's like, oh, wow, this is great. And now a lot of people want to buy it. I'm gonna sell my home. When you get new windows, we want to make our home more cozy and more. So that's what we're thinking. You can do the same, but some people do want to have that one big project before they sell their home. Either way, a lot of old homes in this area, especially in the city and some of the city suburbs, and the windows are costing you guys a lot of money because they're not energy efficient. So check them out. Energy efficient windows, high quality windows, and some incredible deals. No payments for a full year. Buy one, get one. And this week only, free installation. You get it all installed for free. All that hard work, they do it, no cost. Free installation this week when you set it up this week, 262-703-3500, 262-703-3500. Again, free installation, 262-703-3500, windowselect.com. Buy one, get one on the windows, free installation, and no payments for a full year. Located in Menominee Falls, high-quality energy-efficient windows, all with a double lifetime warranty. It's Window Select, windowselect.com. Rodgers and Cudahy.
Hey, guys.
How have you been, bud?
What's up, Raj?
Well, I'm hanging in there.
I missed you.
I just emotionally, and I guess from a technical standpoint, I can't overload myself with being concerned with too many aspects of that game yesterday. I'm just going to forget about the defense. It is what it is. And maybe focus on Aaron Rodgers in this issue with targeting Davante Adams. Would you guys agree that there is, first of all, a difference between targeting and staring him down? He was targeted, 17 times? And connected 14 times in a pretty impressive win yesterday. From what I saw, the problem was staring him down. Those two interceptions were not the worst throwing balls in the world, but after that happened, I think it impacted and affected Rodgers in downfield passing with regards to Lewis and EVS. I mean, it just seemed that it got into his head, and that's what LaFleur has to figure out, how to prevent that from happening where it throws Rodgers' accuracy off for the entire game. I am concerned, bottom line, with Rodgers' accuracy going forward.
Hey, you know what was my problem with the offensive side of the ball yesterday? You know what I talk about in the second half? I get in the second half, you're playing from behind, right? But yesterday was not a game for Aaron Jones. All right, if you could maybe open things up, have him catch some balls out of the backfield, split them out wide, okay. But like you said, I mean, they had fast linebackers. You could take them out of the game plan. But here's my problem with yesterday's game plan. You're playing from behind, yes, but you got to score points. The defense gives you three stops in the second half before the fourth quarter even begins. Jamal Williams yesterday, 4 carries, 34 yards. That's 8.5 yards he's averaging per attempt, nearly 9 yards per carry. But he only gets the rock 4 times for 34 yards. A.J. Dillon yesterday, 5 carries, 31 yards, 6.2 average. Had a run of 20 yards. Jamal had a 25-yard carry. Aaron Jones yesterday, 10 carries, 15 yards. That's 1.5 yard per average. His longest run yesterday was 7 yards. So why not keep pounding the rock with the big physical backs against a big physical defense? I get you're playing from behind, but you got to get points, man. And Aaron Rodgers dropping back wasn't the answer yesterday. They blitzed him all game long, and he couldn't hit anybody. Jamal, 4 carries, 34 yards. A.J. Dillon, 5 for 31. What the hell, LaFleur?
There's a lot of you guys tweeting. We'll get to these as well as the calls, 1250 AM, The Fan, that you don't like that Rodgers focused a lot on Devontae, and you think him coming back kind of ruined the game plan. Rodgers did stare down Devontae, especially on that first interception, and Jamel Dean was all over it. He was looking at him the entire way. That's not what you want to see out of a veteran quarterback. But wait until you hear what Rodgers blamed not just one interception on, but both of them. Rodgers digging deep into the excuse toolbox for this one. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath on The Fan.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.